Oh no.
Call your stove, Jasmine.
I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay.
Go to the stove.
Go to the stove. We were muted, so. Okay, I'm muted again.
Okay, go to the stove.
Go to the stove.
Go to the stove. I'm going to give it a couple of more minutes before we start.
Okay.
Go to stove.
We're waiting another minute. Most people I talk to are waiting for this month to end and the new one to begin. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to what I'm about to tell everyone. As we normally do with our Rosh Chodesh events, we will start not with the Ana Bekoach, but with the verse on certainty. And I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. And then we will go into our handout, which you can find on the unique astrological times links. When you open up the unique astrological times link, which is on the every Yeshem webpage, below the two pictures on the right, or if you're on a mobile device, at the bottom of the page. When the unique astrological times opens up, scroll down past the Tanit Dibur section to Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And we're starting with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bid Hilu, Urhimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urhimu. Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, B'Yehuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino Amadonai Eloheinu, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu, Konanei Aleinu, Ma'asei Yadeinu, Konaneihu. Rabbi Abba Mar Deka Matar Tane Nandakucha Perihu Komadi Aved Leela Witata Golaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Vele Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash The Dachia Leia Mine Yaula Raga. Deya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada. Dikshot Inun Wikolait Spirit. Be Alma. We're now going to start reading the handout. Which is titled Rosh Chodesh Shabbat 5779. Scroll down about a half inch, 3/8 of an inch, to where it says the summary of the month of Shabbat and the astrological sign of Dali, the water carrier and or the vessel. And I am adding, one translation of the Hebrew word Dali is a door to my teaching. And I capitalize the M to represent Hashem, a door to Hashem's teachings. This is the nature of this month of Shabbat. But let us learn much more. This is a commentary that from the Daily Zohar by Leah today. But before I start on the commentary, and I will probably have much verbal commentary to make of my own, I am adding, much of this commentary is traditional Hebrew astrology, while much is traditional Western or regular astrology. It ignores sidereal astrology. This is a system that has been being developed for the last 30 to 40 years, and it is actually representative of the current state of the universe and the current state of the view from the earth towards the astrological signs. So please take this commentary that I've added to this year's handout. I don't want to say with a grain of salt, but be aware that it's lacking much. Today, in the evening, we start Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is the mazel, the astrological sign of Dali. It is the new moon of Shabbat, a sign of Aquarius. It is said that those of the sign of Aquarius are the visionary ones of the zodiac, the lovers of freedom and free thinking, therefore of knowledge, for knowledge frees us. It is also said that Aquarians are sharing people and love to pass on all they learn and absorb, which makes them have lots of friends, mainly virtual friends. On the other hand, Aquarians cherish very much their independency, and this can hinder any major emotional involvement with others. Such configurations may arouse at times the morbid curiosity and bad-mouthing of malicious people. Aquarians should pay attention on their so cherished need of interdependence, of independency, because it can reach the brinks of deep selfishness, a common feature found in the times we are living in, the age of Aquarius. Remembering that everybody have all the planets spread over the astrological map, hence everybody are under the energy of the sign of Dali, which is Aquarius, during the month of Shabbat, Shavua Tov and Kodesh Tov to all. For those who would like to know a bit more, here is a nice article by the Astrologue at her blog spot. Shabbat belongs to the tribe of Asher and is associated with the mazel of Dali, the pitcher of water, otherwise known as Aquarius, the water bearer. Shabbat's element is fixed air, even though Aquarius is the water bearer, and appropriate to the tribe of Asher, which is associated with delicious foods. The Sefer Yetzirah tells us that the stomach is the body organ associated with Shabbat, and the tikkun of Shabbat has to do with eating. The B'nai Yisachar discourses on Shabbat, saying that according to astrology, Dali, Aquarius, is the sign of the Jewish people. No other sign of the zodiac is as concerned with issues of humanitarianism, universalism, and the brotherhood of mankind as is Aquarius. The bucket of water is an appropriate sign for Israel, because water is a symbol for Torah, and it is Israel's job to be the water bearer for this world. Each of the four elements, fire, air, earth, and water, operate in one of the three modalities, the cardinal, initiating, the fixed, establishing, or the mutable, transforming. The month of Shabbat is the fixed air sign of the zodiac. All three air signs, Gemini, which is Sivan, Libra, which is Tishrei, and Aquarius, which is Shabbat, are associated with the Torah, which was given over by Moshe, beginning on Rosh Chodesh Shabbat. Aquarius, the fixed air, establishing the Torah. The Torah was given to the Jewish nation at Sinai during the month of Sivan. Gemini, mutable, air, transforming the Torah. And during Tishrei, the second set of tablets were given. Libra, the cardinal air sign, initiating Torah. It is interesting to note the planets associated with the months and their modalities in this example. The planet Mercury, Kohav, which has to do with communication, is associated with Gemini, the mutable, the transforming air sign, and the tribe of Zebulun, known for conducting commerce via shipping and with foreign nations. The planet Venus, Noga, is associated with Libra, the cardinal, the initiating air sign, and the tribe of Ephraim. Venus is concerned with beauty and relationships, balance and justice, fairness, as well as the arts and romantic love. The second set of tablets that were given by Moshe during Tishrei were the sign of the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could live with in regards to the Jewish people. There are two planets associated with Aquarius. One is Saturn, Shabtai, which co-rules Capricorn, Tevet, and the other is Uranus, Orion. There are good reasons for the co-rulership and the evolving of our consciousness about the planets in general and their relationship to the nations of this world. Saturn, Shabtai, is concerned with structure, order, organization, boundaries, and restriction, or tsimtsum. Binding by striking is the term that we at Yeshem teach. The relationship between Tevet and Shvat is most interesting. They are the months on this side of the year, said by the Ari, as belonging to Esav. From Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which, remember, is still within Hanukkah, until Tu B'Shvat, Tevet and Shvat are the two eyes, according to the Holy Ari, who attributed facial organs to the Hebrew months. Tevet is Ayin and associated with the right eye, and Shabbat is Tzadik and associated with the left eye. One needs both the right and left eye to see properly and in perspective. Uranus, Aron, is originality, individualism, humanitarianism, a visionary perspective. It's the energy associated with Hidushim, original insights. No other sign of the zodiac has more talent for originality or is so intellectually curious. As Aquarius, it is interesting to recall that both Copernicus and Galileo were Aquarians. Shabbat is the month most conducive to original thought. This is a quick summary of the traditional astrological influences. It's a quick summary of the energy of the month of Shabbat. The energy of the month of Shabbat is a duality. The first 2 weeks prior to the holiday of Tu B'Shvat is still connected to the darkness of winter. It's still connected to the energy of Tevet, because the planet Shabtai is involved in the creation of both months and both astrological signs. But at the holiday in the middle of the month of Tu B'Shvat, we have a transition to the beginning of spring, the concealed aspect of spring. What do I mean by the concealed aspect of spring? We all know spring starts late March, early April. We're 2 months away from that. But something happens within the trees. The sap begins to rise. This is the beginning, but it's done within the tree. It's not revealed where we can see it. It's just happening. The sap is growing. When it came to Israel and the land, we had this condition of the tithing of the sap. The tithing was changed from the previous year to the new year with the idea of any tree that budded after Tu B'Shvat, the tithing was for the next year's crop. Any crop that came from the tree prior to the Tu B'Shvat was tied as the previous year. This relates very much so to the Aquarian people. All of the positive attributes that were in the summary are very valid about Aquarian people and about the Aquarian thoughts that we will receive during Aquarius, whether we are Aquarian people or whether we are not. The energy of the month is very much all of those positive attributes. But are they truly positive? Is independence positive? Yes, but it can also be negative. each one of the traits described can be in both negative and positive. And this is the duality of the month of Shvat. Imagine a marriage where one of the partners is Aquarian. They're brilliant. They're sharing. They actually want to save every human being in their vicinity. They want to help everyone, except for one issue. While they're busy saving the whales, so to speak, saving the strangers, so to speak, saving the Chinese 15,000 miles away, they're neglecting their own family. This is the tikkun of the Aquarian people. This is what needs to be corrected by being aware of their tendency is to go save the world, but they first must save their family. They first must interact and work with the members of their own family. Once they've done that, they can go save the world, because the brilliance, the high thoughts that come from the Aquarian are the way the world improves. But whether an Aquarian manifests those or needs to first fix the family before they manifest those thoughts, that's according to each individual Aquarian. I'm continuing to read in the handout. The word Shevet, means a tribe. It also means a scepter. And if you'll notice, Shevet is spelled Shin Bet Tet, whereas Shabbat is Shin Bet Taf. Concealed in Shabbat is the energy of Shabbat, the energy of rest, the energy of amazing revelations of light. But as was said in the summary, the attribute is taste, but it's not really taste so much as eating. Being aware of the food, appreciating the food, recognizing that the food is there to give us pleasure, but not so much pleasure that we are drawn into the physical pursuit of pleasure. Remember, the month is this duality. The first 2 months is the darkness of winter. The last 2 months is the beginning of spring, but it's not yet spring. So we need to be aware of that. We need to utilize binding by striking. We need to utilize binding by striking in every aspect of our life during the month of Shvat. Not to go overboard into the darkness of the winter, and not to go get so excited over the light being revealed that we lose our perspective. Asher, the tribe, his name means happiness. And this is the understanding The month is very happy, provided you utilize binding by striking. Fail to utilize it, and you just continue the energy of the month of Tibet. The month of Shabbat is confusing because of the three relationships, the three tribes. There's Joseph. While he's not formally a tribe, he is. He was one of the original 12 sons. He received as the firstborn, when he's not the firstborn, but he is the firstborn, he received a double portion. And that double portion is within the land of Israel. Two of his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, are adopted by Jacob. This is the double portion of the land of Israel. The tribal stone is the Shoreham, the onyx stone. This stone has an energy of charisma, illusion, and delusion. What is delusion? When the illusion becomes real to you. Illusion is, we all have illusion. But when we fall into the illusion and think it is now real, this is a danger time. This is not a good thing to have happen. This is why we need to use binding by striking on our thoughts in the month of Shabbat. There is a herb. It's part of the 11 components. It's known as the Male Ashan. This plant is translated as the smoke rising plant because when it burns, the smoke goes straight up. It doesn't waver. This smoke within the mixture of the 11 herbs of the incense would cause the sacrifices to rise directly to Hashem. Staying in the middle path, staying in the direct path. The danger of the middle path for the Aquarian is their feet are not on the ground. They lose their balance because they're flying without any basic structure to hold and control, to keep them grounded. The water pitcher, or the sign of Dali, it's confusing, because is it the water pitcher or is it the water carrier? And this is the duality. The water is Torah. The water is Chesed, loving kindness. This is the energy that's available in Shvat. But is it the vessel? Or is it the carrier, meaning the light? This is the confusion, and this is the search for balance. energy of Shabbat is binding by striking. When you utilize it, it's all in balance. Fail to utilize it, and you will be drawn astray. God forbid. The permutation is Hey Yud Vav Hey. It's confusing because the lower letters are in their normal order. The upper letters are not. And this creates a bit of confusion, a little bit of unbalanced at the top. The two letters, the letter Bet from the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. The letter Saturn has two different approaches, two different energies. Just as the letter Bet has the number two. One of the energies of Saturn is loving kindness, chesed. The other is distancing from loving kindness. The planet Saturn does not show all of itself to the earth. One side faces out away, the other side faces the earth. This aspect has to be balanced, has to be made aware. It's similar to Mercury in that sense. Mercury is always showing one side to the earth, but the other side is to the sun. Whereas in Saturn's case, the other side is the universe, way outside. The letter Tzadi, which means righteousness or justice, they represent the central column. The letter Tzadi is the goal of every human being to become righteous, to become a tzaddik, and maintain that level of consciousness. Together, the Tzadi and the Bet have a gematria of 92. It's one more than 91. We know 91 represents Amen. We know 91 represents the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, the spiritual with the physical. Is 92 better than 91? It's the unity of Zeranpin with Malchut. Hashem at 26 and Adonai at 65, the two names coming together in unity is 91. This is the idea, the consciousness of Amen. But when we add the Kolel, we enhance that unity. It's a better structure, a more intimate, complete structure. This is 92. This is the month of Shabbat. Remember, the month of Tevet was Ayin Bet, the 72 names. 92 is the unification, the manifestation of the 72 names, because it is 72 plus 20. 72 plus 10 sephirot of direct light and 10 sephirot of returning light. This is the idea of the kolel, the enhancement. There is one holiday in the month, the holiday of Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat translates as the 15th day of Shavat. It's the full moon day, the day when the sun, which is total sharing, is sharing completely with the Aquarian, completely with the earth. This is the energy of all of those positive attributes. The full moon day in Shvat is wonderful, providing you utilize binding by striking and don't let it take you out of balance, because the energy is overwhelmingly positive. We will have a class separately on the holiday of Tu Bishvat. We will talk about the Seders, which only started 400, 500, 600 years ago with the Ari. If you have not done the blessing of the trees that was recommended to you for Nisan, this is one of your last opportunities to say the blessing over two different fruit trees. This is part of the mitzvah of Tu Bishvat. Practical things to do during Shvat. Do new things. Be open to the new beginnings that is represented by spring, represented by the rising of the sap. Learn Torah. Use the energy of the month, the brilliance of the month, to enhance your Torah learning. Do a little bit more in Shvat. Be conscious of what you eat, and we will talk about this a little more shortly. Look into becoming vegetarian, or transforming to be more strict about your kashrut. Is it okay to eat meat? Yes, of course it's okay to eat meat, if it's killed in the kosher manner. But vegetarian is the way humanity was instructed from Adam through Noah. For 10 generations, we were prescribed from eating meat. And it was only after the negativity of the generation of the flood that caused reincarnation into the lower species of animals and plants and inanimate objects that we had to start to eat meat in order to facilitate and help people to elevate themselves back to where they belonged. The Tikkun of Aquarius has to do with eating, as we will learn shortly. I read this story before in earlier years about Shabbat, but it's worth reading again, and we will have an additional discussion after it. In the Second Temple times, there lived a man whose name was Micha. Micha dreamed of world peace and the coming of Mashiach, as we all do. He decided to help manifest his dreams, so he built a very special house that would emphasize and embody his dream. He built his house out of stone. This was because he did not want to destroy any trees to be used in his house. He did not want the energy of destruction to be connected to his house. Destruction and peace do not have affinity. He did not use any metal or carvings or cut his stones that he used in his house. This is because metal is used in war, and war and peace do not have affinity. He built the house with his own hands, and when he was completed, he planted a fig tree in the garden outside his house. Micha envisioned that people would come from everywhere in the world on their way to Jerusalem, to the third holy temple, as we all are going to do after Mashiach. Micha envisioned people eating under his fig tree in his garden, and then he would leave the crumbs for the birds to eat, and the result would be the birds would pick up and clean away the crumbs from the table as a service to Micha. One day a prophet came to eat at his house. Micha, like Abraham, our patriarch, was very sharing. He provided a place of rest and food and other comforts for anyone who came by his house. After all, it was a house of peace. Of course, he never charged anyone for these services, and he did not even ask for donations, unlike many people in our generation, including me. Micha did not know the man was a prophet. When the prophet was finished with his meal, he offered Micha to pay for it. Micha knew never to say no, so he accepted some money in payment and immediately put the money back into the coat of the prophet. The prophet knew what he had done. The prophet blessed Micha by saying, "In heaven, they are so impressed with your house and your sharing. Hashem sent me here to tell you that one day a child of yours will eat a fig from the tree outside of your house, and this action will manifest Mashiach." At that time, Micha did not have any children. The next day, the temple was destroyed, and chas v'shalom, blood ran in the streets of Jerusalem. Micha went into exile with the other members of the family and his tribe. Yet the dream of Micha and Micha's story continue to hold on to and to be repeated and told over and over, even up to today. This is why people serve figs to their children, because maybe the fig they serve to their children might be grown from a tree that grew from a seed that came from Micha's fig tree. And maybe the hearing of this story by their children will mean that their children will also have a dream of world peace, and thereby be considered a child of Micha. Maybe this child eating this fig will manifest Mashiach. Maybe, or perhaps the teachings of Kabbalah will catch on and the people will know that this child is a child of Micha, and they will know that this fig tree is outside of Micha's house, outside of Jerusalem. And this action is what will manifest Mashiach, both metaphorically and physically. Have a wonderful, peaceful month. You can bring your Mashiach, and thereby the global Mashiach, this month. During Shabbat, everyone will be influenced by the consciousness of let go and let God. If you try to hold on to your negativity, the universe will kick you in the groin during this month. Let go and you will be amazed at what can be accomplished towards world peace and joy, towards your personal goals. Shabbat can be a very stimulating month, or you can remain in the coldness of winter. The choice is yours. Just try to do the whole process one step at a time and not jump ahead of yourself. Here is a teaching from Melinda Ribner from the Kabbalah of the Heart. According to Kabbalistic teachings, this month is devoted to healing through eating. What and how we eat is an expression of who we are and our relationship is to God. Food is a contraction of divine light. By eating with the proper consciousness, the godly sparks within foods are elevated and returned to their source. Eating provides an interface between the spiritual and the material. When the spiritual and the physical dimensions of our lives are unified, there is balance and joy. In the month of Shvat, we reflect on what and how we eat to support our well-being. Take time to commit to a diet that supports your well-being. Whatever diet you choose for yourself, make an effort to give up processed foods and foods laden with chemicals and hormones. Be also mindful to eat when you are hungry, rather than eat to stuff down your negative feelings. And most importantly, eat slowly, chewing your food carefully, blessing before and after, rather than gulping your food down unconsciously. Eating can be a most wondrous, holy, sensual, and intimate experience. When we talk while we eat, we are not fully present to the experience of eating. Often when we eat alone, we read or watch television and are similarly distracted. You may want to experiment with this eating meditation, which I will read shortly. When you eat with others on Shabbat, or even when you eat alone, I used to do silent Shabbaton meals with my students, meditating throughout the meal. It was a very deep and powerful learning experience. It's consistent with the fast of words, the Ta'anit Dibur. Here is the eating meditation. In selecting the foods for a meal, take a moment to get in touch with what your body wants right now. Before you eat, take a moment to breathe, to feel grateful, and say appropriate blessings. Be aware that this food has been given to nurture you in the ways you will need right now. Eat slowly, consciously, chewing each bite of food many times until it becomes almost liquid. Be present with your eating as much as possible. Delight in the sense and taste sensations in all the foods that are on your plate. Be aware and grateful how this food is such a divine gift, and it's a blessing to you. This food lifts you up on all levels and energizes you to serve God. After you complete the eating, take a moment to relax, allowing all of the food to digest and say appropriate blessings. In addition to the quality of our physical food, we need to look at love and work in our lives. The main areas that either nurture or deplete us. Identify those things that support and nurture you and develop a plan to include them in your life and let go of what is draining and depleting. Do we support our well-being? In the month, take a new behavior activity that nurtures your well-being and eliminate or limit a behavior or activity that drains or depletes you energetically. This month will offer much blessings to you, even if it is not clearly manifest to you in the ways you can openly see. Be open to surprises, to new people, and to new activities this month. The Torah portion introducing the month of Shabbat is always the Parasha of Bo in the book of Exodus, recounting the exodus of the Jewish people. This event is very much in line with the energy of the month, a time of breaking free from the past and beginning anew. In this Torah portion, we see the final plagues given to demonstrate Hashem's power and finally take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Before we can fully be on this journey towards freedom and love, we need to release some of the barriers restraining us in going forward. During the Torah reading of Bo, we read about Passover, Pesach. Life today may be challenging on many levels, just as the Jewish people in bondage in Egypt called out for divine assistance. We also must call out on a personal and collective level. Then we have to listen to be guided and get ready to move forward. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana b'koach, gedulat shemincha, tatir, tzerura, aleph bet gimel, yotach tzadi. This first verse connects to the month of Shabbat through the letters Bet and the letters Tzadi, and the permutation to use tonight and tomorrow is Hey, Yud, Vav, Hey. Please stand and prepare yourself to dance with joy. As we all say, Hey, yo, ah, hey. 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 Hey, yo, ah, dance around and be happy. Hey, yo, why, hey. Hey, yo, why, hey. Hey, yo, why, hey. Hey, yo, why, hey. Dance and sing. Hey, yo, why, hey. Hey, yo, why, hey. Put a smile on your face. Fake it till you make it. Hey, yo, ah, hey. 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 Tzadi bet, the house of righteousness. Tzadi bet. Hey yo, ah, hey, hey yo, ah, hey. Make your body righteous house. Make your body righteous house. Make your body righteous house. Hey yo, ah, hey, hey yo, ah, hey, hey yo, ah, hey, hey. Hey, yo, ah, hey, 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 hey, yo, ah, hey. Kabel rinat. Amcha sagbeinu tacharenu nora. Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na gibor dorshe yechudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rakame Sidkarcha, Tamid Gamlem. Bet Tet Resh, Sadi Tat Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Bero Tucha, Nael. Adata et kuf bet tet nun ayin. Yachid yeye lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata. Yud gimel lamed he zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushmati akatenu Yodea talumot shin kufav tzadiyotah. In the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoach, we say in a whisper, I wish you all Kodesh Tov. I remind you that 7 a.m. West Coast time tomorrow, we have a study in Psalms. At 4:30 tomorrow, Monday afternoon, at West Coast time, we have a deeper study of the Zohar on the Parsha of Lech Lecha. And at 7 p.m. West Coast time, we have a study of the writings of the Ari. Our class is over. Our Rosh Chodesh connection is over. But it also begins. Are there any questions? I bid you all a Rosh Chodesh Tov, a good month, a month filled with joy, happiness, peace, and plenty. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you. Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.